Well, good morning, everyone. It's really good to see you, whether you're in this building or whether you are tuning in online. As Nathan said, my name is Tim. I'm one of the members of Enfield Town Community Church. In case you don't know me, I'm married to Sophie, and we've got a daughter called Rosie, who will be two next Saturday. And it's really a great pleasure to bring God's Word to you this morning. And I've chosen Psalm 42 for us because we have struggled. Over the last 8 months during lockdown, we have struggled. And there are other points in our Christian life where we do struggle. And this psalm has really helped me over the last 8 months. And it's really strengthened me. And so I come to you this morning not with expert answers. I come to you with the living words of God. And so I pray it will be a great help for all of us, and by God's Spirit, He will strengthen all of us. And so with that, we're going to have one of our members, Jonathan Harris, read the Bible to us. It's in Psalm 42. Thank you, Jonathan.
Good morning, everybody. Let's read Psalm 42 together. Psalm 42 for the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God, under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mitzah. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love. At night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God.
Thank you, Jonathan, so much for reading God's word to us. Before we begin, let's just pray once more to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you so much that you are the God of our lives and that we can come to you any time, any place to pour out our hearts and our souls to you. We pray, Lord God, that as your word is preached this morning, you will help us to do just that. We pray, Lord God, you will help those in this church family who are really struggling Christianly. And that you'll help all of us, you'll strengthen us so that we can encourage one another to spur each other on as we continue to walk the Christian walk. Please help me now, Lord God, as I preach your word. May I be forgotten. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know what it's like to be sick, to feel unwell and out of sorts. Sometimes it's plain to us what the problem is and what we need to do to recover. But sometimes it's not so clear and we need to seek help. Go to the doctor, for example. But do you know that it's the same spiritually? In our culture, the idea of being spiritually unwell, being spiritually sick, that's treated as nonsense. And that's because we live in a culture that claims that only the material exists, substance, stuff. However, when you observe what our culture actually, how it actually works and acts, you soon discover that we don't really believe that. We still live in a way that presumes that we are spiritual beings, that we have bodies and souls, that there is a physical and spiritual reality to this world. Now, the psalmist who wrote these words that we're looking at this morning, he knows this. What we know, deep down, to be true, this psalm puts front and central. Yes, there is a God who made us and rules over all things. Yes, life is found in knowing and worshiping him in all his glory and majesty. And this life is the blessed life, knowing God, the one who made us, the one who rules, who is glorious. This is to know love and peace and joy and power. The person who wrote this psalm, he knows all of this, and he worships this God, and he trusts in him. So we must say right from the start that the person who does not know this God isn't just spiritually sick, they are spiritually dead. That's what Jesus Christ says. Jesus Christ says to anyone who doesn't trust and follow him that their greatest problem in life is not COVID-19. It's that they are dead in their sins, the sins of their rejection of God's word and ways, that they are under God's judgment, that they are heading for a godless eternity, which Jesus describes as hell. And Jesus taught that he came to bring us back from death to life and reconcile us, to bring about new birth for all who will trust in him. And through his life, death, and resurrection, he brings forgiveness with God and newness of life. He sets our lives on the rock of God's love, a rock that can never be destroyed for all eternity. And so, if you do not know Jesus Christ as the rock of your life, I plead with you today to stand on Jesus. Stand with to feel and to find your way to him through trusting in his word. I plead with you, find life in Christ today. Now, once we've done this, which many of us who are listening in, tuning in, have done so, it's vital for us to know that the Christian life is not one of perfect, joyous communion with God, moment by moment, all the days of our life. There will be times when, in our spiritual lives, we feel unwell. Our walk with God feels off track. We feel a soul sickness. God seems distant to us. God seems far away. Now, often that can be because of our sin. We have done something or are doing something that is not right in God's sight. We know it, and we know that God certainly knows it. And so we find ourselves spiritually unwell. Of course we do. We're hurting ourselves, not living the way as we should. We're hurting our relationship with God. We're feeling convicted, feeling his displeasure. Being made spiritually well again comes through repentance and faith in the finished work of Christ. And praise God, that's all we need to do. We just need to repent. That means stop what you are doing, turn around, and plead to God for forgiveness. And know that he forgives you in Jesus. Praise God. Whatever it is, whatever you've done, we find in Christ mercy and grace. Praise God. But in our psalm this morning, that is not the problem. Did you notice? There is no confession of sin here. There is nothing to be repented of. And yet, there is still what we're calling this spiritual sickness. A famous preacher called Martin Lloyd-Jones, who preached a famous sermon on this psalm, described it as spiritual depression. There is a dryness in our desires for God, a distance that we feel from God. There is a darkness in our souls as we read the Bible, as we pray, and as we meet with God's people online and offline. And the psalm opens by describing this in a vivid way. Look down at verse 1 and see how the psalmist begins. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? The picture here is of a deer panting for water. Now, this isn't an animal that feels a bit thirsty and just fancies a bit of water. This is way beyond thirst. It's a matter of life and death. The deer is panting for streams of water. The deer has been searching for a while and has found the streams where the waters normally flow as being dry. The place she has often gone dry. And the psalmist is saying, that is how my soul feels now, O God. Dry, bleak, and thirsting for you, but you cannot be found. This condition of soul sickness, of being spiritually dry, it's something we need to be prepared for. Perhaps for some of us, we haven't been Christians for many years. We will do well to prepare ourselves for these times. When we feel dry and empty in our spiritual lives, they can affect us in so many ways. And they can appear from seemingly nowhere. I recently went through a period of this. And when this season, when it does appear, perhaps you are experiencing it right now. We need to know how to walk through that season. Perhaps some of us by temperament or circumstance, or perhaps because the way we are physically wired, experience this more often than others. And so we need to know how to respond, how to honor God and live in a way that is worthy of the gospel. And what it means to know Jesus. So listen, often we don't respond well to this circumstance, and we deal with the reality of this in our lives and in the lives of others badly. You see, if we don't know how to deal with the darkness and the dryness and the depression of our souls, it can develop into a much longer permanent state. Over the years, brings a toughness and a hardness, a lack of joy and hope. That others who endure the same spiritual difficulties, they seem to still exhibit a sense of joy and a love and a peace. Jesus Christ, who said this psalm 2,000 years ago, he knew the realities of the words in Psalm 42. Do you remember what Jesus cried out on the cross? I thirst. When he knew the greatest dryness, the deepest darkness of sorrow, there on the cross, God laid on him the sins of the world. Jesus lived out the depth of this psalm more than we could ever know. And he did it for us. And so, friends, he is absolutely familiar with our struggles. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you feel. And he cares for you more than you could ever imagine. We've acknowledged this spiritual sickness that we can often experience, sometimes seemingly from nowhere, but often But often there are significant struggles in our lives that contribute to our soul's sickness, to spiritual depression. It's not that they always do. It's not always that our circumstances, that our struggles take us to this place with God, but often they can. And it's been the experience of many believers that this is the case. Significant struggles in our lives can make us spiritually unwell. And that's clearly the experience of the psalmist here. Look at some of the significant struggles that he describes. Firstly, he feels far from God. Far from God. That's what the psalmist experiences. Look at verse 2. He says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" And look again also at verse 9. "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" The one who is all present seems distant, far away. The one who knows all things, who knows us to the depths of our innermost being, seems to have forgotten us. We fail to hear God speaking to us in his word. We know he does. Our prayers, they sometimes seem to go no further than the ceiling, even though we know God hears. Feelings that you've been forgotten, it's a dreadful thing. It's a dreadful feeling. You feel isolated and you feel uncared for. You feel unloved. And this is how the psalmist feels. And most likely, many of us watching have also felt too. I've certainly felt this. And this feeling, it can undoubtedly lead to a soul sickness, a weariness, a darkness, a depression. The second significant struggle is being far from God's people. Not just far from God, but also far from God's people. Look at verse 4. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." If you just look at the top of the psalm for a moment, then you will notice that it says, "For the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah." The sons of Korah, they were descendants of Moses' cousin, and they had special responsibilities in God's temple, including the leading of sung worship. So the psalmist of Psalm 42, he is a worship leader. And in verse 4, he remembers the joy of meeting in the house of God with God's people. He remembers being at the temple in Jerusalem, the place which signifies the presence of God. He remembers the praises of God's people and the joy of celebrating the feasts like the Passover, which celebrated God's mighty rescue, his rescue of his people from their slavery in Egypt. How this used to thrill his heart and soul. But now, look at verse 6. "My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." In other words, he finds himself far, far away from God's people, up in the northern reaches of the land of Israel, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, up and in the isolating, lonely mountains of the north. And so God's people and praises, they seem so distant, so out of reach to him. And this can be so true of our experience. You're feeling this right now? I certainly am. Not being able to meet together, it hurts. And you know, we're made in God's image as relational creatures. I think this is one thing lockdown has reminded us. We are relational creatures. who have a deep need for community and to relate to one another. And so we should never be surprised, therefore, that absences of time with God's people, singing his praises, remembering the wonders of what he has done, rejoicing in the great remembrance of our faith, the cross and resurrection, it leads to dryness and sickness of sorrow. Ironically, though, so often our response to feeling low in soul is to do what? It's to absence ourselves from God's people, whether it's physically or digitally. Though we might not feel like it, when we most feel like staying away from church, whether in person or on Zoom, that's the time we most need to be with God's people. The time we most feel like staying away is the time we most need to be with each other. Now, of course, it's possible to be with God's people and yet still feel far away from them. You know that feeling? I do. And that's why we need one another all the more, by each other's side, to comfort and to build up and to mature and to bless and to listen to each other and to weep with one another, pointing each other to Jesus. The third significant struggle the psalmist mentions that contributes to his spiritual sickness is his fear of life. He is far from God. He is far from God's people. Now we see a fear of life. And there are two particular fears that he mentions: foes on the outside and fragile on the inside. Firstly, foes on the outside. Look at the second half of verse 3. People say to me all the day long, where is your God? And again in verse 10, my bones suffer mortal agony as my bones taunt me, saying to me all the day long, where is your God? He repeats this twice in the psalm. Clearly, it's significant. His foes, his enemies are making fun of him. Where is your God? Here you are. You're supposed to be a believer, right? You're supposed to be trusting in this Lord God Almighty. But where is he? What is he doing for you? You're lonely, you're hopeless, you're depressed. What kind of faith is this? Where is your God? And it's this endless attack and oppression that we can take toil on our lives, on our spiritual lives. We can find ourselves thinking so easily, where is my God? What's he doing? Just like we said earlier, we can respond that God has abandoned me, he's forgotten me. We can start using the words of our enemies, and our souls can shrivel up and feel dry and empty. Foes on the outside, but also fragile on the inside. We are weak creatures, all of us. And the psalmist talks about physical weakness that he is experiencing. This can also contribute to our spiritual sickness. Now, to be clear, we are not dualists who separate the physical and the spiritual, you know, body and spirit. We know that God has made us as one, spirit and body. Look at the psalmist. He's struggling to eat and to sleep properly. Did you see that in verse 3? My tears, they have been my food day and night. He is weeping. And the only thing he is eating and drinking are his tears, which roll down his face into his mouth. They are literally running down. Such is his sadness, such is his gloom. And this is the case day and night. He can't sleep. He describes the darkness and depression that so many of us struggle with so powerfully. Look at verse 7. Look at the language in verse 7. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. the grief and pain he is encountering comes over him wave after wave, constantly breaking one after another. And the psalmist uses this powerful imagery in verse 7 to describe his emotion and in his mind. He goes on to speak more of this physical symptoms in verse 10. Just glance at verse 10. My bones, they suffer mortal agony. Friends, there are all kinds of reasons why we can feel fragile embodied like this. Feelings of failure, tiredness, stinging criticism, anxiety, grief. And for the Christian, this certainly contributes to the weariness of soul, a spiritual unwellness. I guess as we look at these significant struggles, far from God, far from God's people, fears of life with foes on the outside and fragile on the inside, we can all identify them with them to various degrees. With the church the size of Enfield Town Community Church, there are going to be people tuning in who are currently experiencing some of these things: spiritual depression, gloom, darkness, physical depression. Perhaps you feel that no one really knows what you're going through. That's totally understandable. But before we move on, let me just tell you that God knows what you're going through. And God knows because Jesus Christ, in his humanity, knew what it was to experience these things for himself. Jesus cried out to his Father in Gethsemane, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Jesus knew what it was to be deserted by friends, to feel isolated and lonely. Jesus knew what it was for his enemies to surround him and rejoice in his death and proclaim, "He trusts in God, let God rescue him now if he wants him." Jesus knew, he knew what it was to suffer mortal agony, to have the bones of his body out of joint, to cry out, "I thirst," to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This dark night of the soul described here in Psalm 42 finds its ultimate climax in the Lord Jesus' passion, trial, crucifixion, and death. Bearing the weight of our sin, the wiles of Satan, the wrath of God, experiencing a darkness so deep that we might never have to. Bringing light that shines even to our darkest places because of all that he has done for us. It is right then that we become aware of these significant struggles and how they can contribute to our spiritual depression, our soul sickness. And it's right to share them with one another. We need to encourage each other to do that, to walk together through them, not often trying to provide solutions, saying, "Okay, you need to do A plus B plus C, then D, you'll feel better." But just to listen and walk and be with one another. But it's also important to find, as the psalmist does, where in these times we find sustaining strength. When our souls feel unwell, when they feel sick, when we feel far from God, so spiritually poorly, where do we find sustaining strength in that time? How do we respond? Where do we go? We're going to see the psalmist responds in three ways within the midst of his depression. He looks up, he thinks long, and he speaks in. Looks up, thinks long, speaks in. Firstly, he looks up. Amazingly, and this is so important, please hear this from the psalm today, he still speaks to God. In the most desperate pain, he still cries out to God. And what he says to God is real. He doesn't try and pretend that things are okay. Verse 1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me. He is crying out to God. Even though he feels God so distant, even though his soul just feels so empty, he tells God that. He is blunt with God. He doesn't put on a front. He's not stiff upper lip. I love this. He is just honest with God. And that is what it means to lament. He shares his struggles and his depression with God. He asks these questions through the psalm. When? Where? Why? 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 And look at the end of verse 8. He speaks of prayer to the God of his life. See how at the end of verse 8 he casts himself to God? We need, brothers and sisters, to learn to lament better. To cry out to God, to confess that we are overwhelmed with grief and pain, with fears and cares. But in our realness, there is also a remembering. At regular intervals throughout the psalm, he reminds himself of who God is. Look at verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God. Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. And verse 8, this is such a sweet verse. Verse 8 is so sweet. Have a look down at verse 8 with me. By day the Lord directs his love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Verse 8 is very significant. You know, one of the most important things to do in the darkness is to remember the truths that you have learned in the light. Let me say this again. One of the most important things to do in the darkness is to remember the truths that you have learned in the light. In the darkness, we can so easily think that God has abandoned us. But right in the midst of this psalm, right in the midst of his pain, the psalmist reminds himself of the covenantal, that means promise-making, faithfulness of God. Just look at verse 8 again. You see the word Lord in capital letters. Verse 8. That's the name that God revealed to Israel as he made promises to be their God, to bless them and to save them and to take them to the promised land, a land of rest. Our God, he makes promises to us which cannot be broken. His word stands sure in the heavens. His promise of love in Christ Jesus to his people is strong and steadfast. And so no matter what we might be going through, no matter the darkness and despair, the promises of God in Christ stand like a lighthouse in the storm, guiding us home. And so do you see how the psalmist remembers the Lord's love and promises? I found this so sweet this week. You know how he does it? He sings. Just look at verse 8. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. Now listen, this song is hardly going to be happy, is it? Oh, I am so happy. It's not going to be that sort of song. It's going to be a song of lament. But songs do enable us to express ourselves, to rehearse truths, that sometimes when our minds are muddled, and we're struggling to think clearly, and when we're hurting so deeply, they just enable us to express our love and the truth of who God is. Even within the midst of the pain, he sings and he remembers. I love to sing. I hope that's clear. I'm not very good at it, but I love to sing. Sometimes if I find that hard, much to my wife's displeasure, I whistle. Or sometimes I will just sit at the piano and just play either a tune I know or just improvise. So firstly, the psalm looks up. And then secondly, he thinks long. Okay? He thinks long. In the famous refrain in verses 5 and 11, the psalmist says in the second half, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." He is looking long. He's thinking long across his life. That word hope is so important. That's what he has. He looks forward to the eternal age to come, the new heavens and the new earth. And this isn't a form of escapism. This is actually anticipation. In fact, hope of what is to come in God, the joy of being with God, this strengthens and fuels his faith. And it's the same for us, especially when we're going through dark periods of the soul. When we're feeling low and cast down, hope in God takes the long view. I will praise him. My weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. These troubles and torments are momentary, and the Bible can even describe them as light when compared to the eternal weight of glory that awaits in heaven for those who trust in Jesus. If you want to find out more, come to the 5 p.m. Tune in. Friends, this hope, it gives us a perspective. Taking the long view, having an eternal perspective is so important. It helps us, even within the midst of our spiritual sickness and depression. The future where we're heading is guaranteed. And that lifts us up and sustains us. This life will soon be past. Soon we will be with Jesus forever, lost in wonder, love, and praise of the triune God. So, the psalmist, he looks up to God. He thinks long to the heavenly home. And finally, he speaks in. He speaks to himself. The two crucially important verses in this psalm, verses 5 and 11, just look at how they begin. Look with me. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" The psalmist talks to himself. He challenges himself. He corrects himself and teaches and comforts himself. The preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, whom I mentioned earlier, he preached a whole series of sermons on the issue of spiritual depression. And he had this to say on Psalm 42. Just listen to what he says. "Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you." Now, this man's treatment, he means Psalm 42, was this. Instead of allowing this self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" he asks. His soul is depressing him and crushing him. So he stands up and says, "Self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you." And as we said, he speaks words of hope in God and the promises, his praise, that he will praise him, that he would bring to God because of the saving work of all God has done for him. And for us in Christ Jesus, we speak and we sing to ourselves the words of an old rugged cross and of an empty grave and of 10,000 reasons for my heart to find joy in God. Even in the darkest night, the psalmist speaks to himself these truths. Jesus powerfully fulfilled this psalm, displaying this sustaining strength as he trusted in his life, in his Father, whilst here on earth. As the cross drew near, he said in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? What shall I speak to myself? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Well, there it is. Jesus speaking to himself, looking forward to what is to come, and trusting and fixing his thoughts on his Father, even in the midst of the cross. So, dear sisters and brothers in Christ, in the midst of spiritual sickness which will afflict us, let us encourage and walk with one another through the storms and hardships of life. Let's be watchful of the significant struggles that afflict us. Let's be praying. Let's be a praying church. We are, do you see this verse just behind me? Let's be a praying church. Let's be walking with one another and praying together through our struggles. Let's be aware of the way these significant struggles can weigh down on our soul and bring us spiritual sickness. We can feel far from God, far from God's people, fears of life becoming rushing into us. Often in life, we can feel the hardness of the world, the hardness of living, and the hardness of life. We can feel the weakness of our flesh. We can physically be poorly, and we can encounter grief and loss. And in the midst of all that, let's encourage each other to sustaining strength in God, to look up to God, being real with him, not putting on a front, being honest with God, with our situation, remembering who he is, to be thinking long to where we are heading, that glorious land, and to be speaking words of truth and grace, gospel words. Well, how might we do that? How might we speak words to ourselves and to each other? Let me just give you an example. When I felt spiritually low, which has often been more than I care to admit, what I find helpful is writing down some verses, maybe in my case on the phone, or you could do it on the paper if you've got a journal. Just write a couple down and then begin to memorize them. And so over time, as you just take a few verses and you meditate on them throughout each day, you can recall to yourself when you are feeling so spiritually low, I can say to myself, "Tim, why are you downcast? Do you not know that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus? Don't you know, since we are justified in faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you know that the God that you worship is a God of comfort who comforts us in our struggles so we can comfort others in their struggles? Don't you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son so that no one will perish but have eternal life? Don't you know? Don't you believe these truths? Why are you cast down?" You see? So just take some verses, write them down, put them around the house, recall them during the day. And when you do feel under attack, when you feel spiritually low, bring them to bear. Memorize them. That's exactly what the sword of the Spirit is, the living word of God. And I'm confident it can help you. It certainly helped me. Enfield Town Community Church, in the midst of spiritual depression and sickness, we need to encourage each other to look up, to think long, and to speak in. Let's also be reminding each other in that Jesus, he knows all about our struggles. He knows all about this. And that he has gone before us. And that he will also see us through. And he will bring us home. Amen. Let's be praying together as the band comes to sing. Let's pray. Our Father God, we need your help. We confess that we struggle in so many ways, including spiritually. We pray this psalm will help all of us, not just in our own walk with you, but in the walk of lives of brothers and sisters in this church. May you do great things beyond our imagination with the words of this psalm. In Jesus' name, amen.